There's a lot of things like we take for granted. And it's time we stop taking anything for granted. I don't care what it is you see, or that's how you bring down, you cast down imaginations, is stop taking things for granted. Even your own definition of the words you routinely use. You slay them all. Because every one of those definitions are the graven images, which are the engraved in your mind, which are the enemies of faith. Now, you know, all your life you've run around and you've seen this virgin or the woman with a scale in her hand as a symbol of justice. Right? All your life you've seen on the dollar bill the pyramid with the eye in it. All your life you've seen the playing cards, ace, king, queen, jack, etc. What the hell do all those things mean? Where'd they come from? Okay, all your life you've gone, there's 7 days of the week. And their names, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, etc. All your life you've known about the 12 months of the year. Where'd they come from? Where'd the 7 days of the week come from? Where did the alphabet come from? These are seminal questions that I don't want you to ever again take for granted. When you see, be open to these things because they all reveal the mystery. Okay? Now, let's talk about all ancient nations, the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Hindus, the Chinese, and the Egyptians, and the Hebrews, the 7 days of the week, the fact, I mean, how in the hell are you going to get 7 days, right? Why doesn't a week have 23 days? Or?
Could it be too long for a week, for the weekend?
What? No, but you understand, where did that come from? And where did the names come from?
I just figured somebody made it up.
Well, how then could it be that they were the constant in all ancient cultures? Why? Okay, here. All these Chaldeans, Persians, Hindus, Chinese, Egyptians, Babylonians, Hebrews, the 7 days of the week were in universal use. Each nation named the days of the week as we still do. Where in the hell did that come from? All the nations in their own language call it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And they're all in that order. They're not, sometimes the first day of the week is different.
Different name?
No.
Monday,
it's sometimes the first day of the week is Sunday, and sometimes it's Saturday, and sometimes it's Monday. And but the order is always the same in all cultures, in all times. Now the reason is, well, first of all.
Well, here, is this what you're talking about when you say that the same like Monday and as Lunas? Is it like moon, the root moon?
That's what we're talking about. Okay. Sunday is from, all of them are named for the seven wandering stars that the scriptures talk about that we see in the heavens. Of the nine planets, five are visible to the naked eye and always have been. Plus the two, the sun and the moon, are the other, the seven wandering stars, they call, not wandering planets, wandering stars, excuse me.
I thought Thursday was named after Thor.
Listen, Sunday is obviously named after the sun.
In all languages?
All languages.
What's the Latin?
Well, I don't want to go into that right now. You can go look it up.
Forget to carry.
Monday is moon day. Or in Spanish, lunes. Okay? And now the language, I'm going to call it. Tuesday. In our English language, Tues is the Anglo-Saxon name for Mars, Tubis. So, Tuesday is Mars Day.
Well,
I think Mars Day sounds better.
Wednesday, the word Wednesday comes from the Anglo-Saxon word Woden.
What?
Woden.
Woden.
And Woden is the name of Mercury. So Wednesday is Mercury Day.
Wednesday, Mercury Day.
Thursday comes from the Norse influence on Anglo-Saxon Thor, who is associated, or the god of, Jupiter.
Sunday, Saturday.
So it's Jupiter.
Huh?
It's Jupiter Day.
Jupiter Day. Thursday is Jupiter Day. Friday is Freya or Frigga. Freya and Frigga are both Anglo-Saxon names that have been, some of them, they've been influenced by the Norse, but they are the name for Venus, or which goes back to Astarte or Ishtar. I mean, all those names go back to those ancient goddesses. So it's Anglo-Saxon for Frigga's Day or Friday. Freya is what Freya's Day was shortened to Friday.
Venus Day.
Is Venus Day.
Frigga came from Ishtar.
Well, it's they're back to the same root, yeah. Freya, Frigga, Ishtar, Astarte. And Saturday is obviously Saturn Day. Now, in all ancient religions, the most sacred of all of those was Saturn. Including Hebrew, because Saturn was associated with the Sabbath. But it was sacred for other reasons, which I'm not going to get into tonight. Now, the order is not that of the distance, or the velocity, or the brilliance. So it's another example, just as these pick, but you understand the randomness of the assignment is what makes it what makes it fascinating, first of all. But if it's the same in all cultures, then it has to, because of that apparent randomness, it has to assume a first source. I mean, that's just good science. There's no other explanation. Now, in a minute, meaning probably next year at this time, we'll get into the names of the months and their association with the 12 signs of the zodiac, and then mansions. They're called the mansions in the signs. They're in the moon. Because the sun is going around doing stuff, and there's the signs of the zodiac, and the moon is going around doing stuff. So the moon's stuff is called mansions. The sun stuff is called signs or stations. But I'll make this point till hell freezes over. With the original use of language, and all language originated from these signs of the zodiac, all alphabets had 25 letters, ancient alphabets. They all began with ABC and ended with STU, but they're not really U because U was a vowel, so they ended with ST. T is the Tau in Hebrew, or the cross. And they're all associated with every alphabet's associated with, in its purest original form, is associated with the zodiac. Now, you know, just, but with the alphabet, with the pyramid, with the stars, with the Torah, what's happened? It all revealed, all of them's original purpose was to say the same thing, to reveal the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's hard to imagine for us that even the very letters of the alphabets would reveal a mystery. The same is true. How in the hell did all the stars reveal a mystery? How in the hell did the pyramid reveal a mystery? How in the hell did Torah reveal Christ? But they all did. But all of them were slowly, over time, perverted. So that all of them are now used, they were first perverted in that, think about it with regard to alphabets. They were first perverted in that they no longer revealed the mystery of time and space, but they revealed the mystery of the King. Therefore, writing became an instrument of the king. The signs of the zodiac or astrology became an instrument of the king, etc., etc. Now, as time progressed, the perversion went deeper and deeper. Then it was an instrument of tribes or families. Then it became finally, as it is now, to the final point of degradation. All of this great, incredible wisdom has been perverted down to its basest form. Another instrument of your own attempts at self-worth.
Wasn't just perceiving it what it was to begin with, the perversion of it?
No.
What,
no, it because its meaning was...
In other words, at one point in time it wasn't perverse, but it was seen.
It was seen as the gospel. Language was the gospel. The pyramid was the gospel. The stars were the gospel. The Torah was the gospel.
What time was that?
Long
time. No, we know it was at the time of Abraham. We know it was at the time of Enoch. Why do you think Enoch was translated? He walked with God. He did not see death. Why? Well, because I believe he built the pyramid. He passed on all his knowledge. The book of Enoch... Adam lived for 300 years during Enoch's lifetime. I mean, Enoch could write because the Bible quotes the book of Enoch. I mean, we somehow think that alphabets were...
They were cavemen.
Cavemen. I mean, we think they were cavemen. I mean, these guys were 10,000 times more advanced than we are. We're the ones that have been perverted. What we've done with science, for instance. Science, I mean, some of you may not understand this, some of you may not give a shit, but it's important. Science has adopted a mathematical system that permits the concept of zero. What that automatically did is it caused the boundaries to be narrowed so that we could have the appearance of advancement by technocrat or technology. But the very concept of that is impermissible in intellectual honesty. But if you didn't allow the concept of zero, man couldn't play his technical games.
Yeah, computers wouldn't work without
zero. Do you understand?
Yeah, because zero means nothing, and that's a...
Yeah, but nothing is a religious... You as a believer cannot ever imagine a state of nothing.
Yeah. It's really weird. A friend of mine's a theoretical mathematician. He's working on a theory to try to prove that you can divide by zero.
Well, I mean, he's already lost because he's starting out with a concept that zero is permissible. He can define anything. Again, you can define anything if your parameters are sufficiently limited. You can prove to yourself anything if you sufficiently limit the parameters. And that's what most of you do all your lives. That's what language has done. That's what your mind has done in the imagery that you've created in defining your own words. Mm-hmm. Now, the purpose of us in this kind of environment is to destroy those images. Whether it be scientific, mathematic, social, religious, whatever. What are you looking at now?
Well, I'm sort of struggling here a little bit because, I mean, as long as I've been...
How come I have to... come? You
well,
sit there
no,
with
I was
this...
waiting for you to stop.
Oh.
I didn't want to interrupt. As long as I've been around, there's been a concept of zero. Now, maybe I'm just thinking too small, but... If I have three apples and I take away three apples, what's
the concept of zero is only allowed at a singular point in time. Now, you know, we're not in linear in mathematics. In it doesn't make any difference in calculus. It's vital.
Well, so I never took calculus.
Okay, well, in linear math, like it doesn't matter. But you have to understand that linear math is based on a concept, and the concept is a point in time that is true. If you have three apples and take away three, you have zero, apparently, at one point in time. Well, so what? That's only good for that point in time.
Right. It's good as long as that state continues.
But it didn't continue at all. It only continued by your definition of the limitation. It continued by the definition of, if in that example, it continued by the definition of ownership, and it continued by the definition of time, a point in time. Both of them totally limited.
Stop, because I'm on something else and I'm not hearing what you're saying.
Okay, what are you on?
I'll take everything out of this room. Okay. How do you answer this question? How many chairs are there in the room?
That's not the issue.
It is the issue right now.
The issue is, for this place, for this point in time, there would be no chairs. But right. What the hell difference does that make?
Well,
except that it permits you, that's my point, it permits you to have a technology.
Wait, stop. That may well be true, but I'm not thinking about that. What I'm thinking about is...
The difference between no chairs and nothing.
Wait a minute. This is very simple. When it's necessary for that to exist, if for no other reason than to answer the question, how many chairs are there in the room?
Why do you care?
Because, why do I care?
No.
How many ships are in the harbor?
All of those things are instruments of commerce.
Okay.
Everything that you've talked about with regard to those needs are an instrument of Canaanites.
Okay.
They are enemies of faith.
Okay.
You don't believe you'll get more apples?
No, it's not. It's much more subtle than that.
Fine, I see that.
Okay, that's all. That's my only point.
That zero is an anathema because it's the cornerstone of that system?
Yeah.
Or are we just singling out the concept of zero?
No, zero is an anathema in intellectual honesty.
If one is intellectually honest, the concept of zero does not exist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah. Is one intellectually dishonest to say how many chairs are there in the room?
No, but the question isn't. That's not the question that requires that honesty. The question of honesty comes in the arenas of defining reality. It doesn't involve itself in the ideas of commerce. Once you've stepped into that arena, you've stepped into cause and effect, you've stepped into the law. Therefore, you must needs have an instrument of measurement and technology.
Oh, so it's measurement and technology.
Well, those are many, many of 6 jillion names for the process, but the concept of zero is not permissible to a believer.
Just because it's in the realm of law?
What has to do with the concept of no God or atheism, right? Also.
Yeah, even before time began
there.
A believer built the pyramid.
We're talking two different levels.
Uh-huh. A believer built the pyramid.
Oh, so what?
And he didn't use the concept of zero in the construction
of the pyramid. Hell no. Their forms of math were so... Their form
more,
of mathematics...
How many more blocks of granite do you need? None.
They never got to that point because the chief cornerstone was never laid.
One.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Didn't know.
Is it...
Yeah.
The only way you can look
yourself.
At zero is in... the whole picture, there is no zero.
Okay, go to... No, see...
I want to know how this ties into the concept of the Sadduceeism.
Yeah.
The whole new religion.
The leaven of the Sadducees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The leaven of the Sadducees permits, and in fact requires, the concept of zero.
Okay.
What does leaven of the Sadducees mean?
That there's no, simply stated is that there is no resurrection, but its implication is far more, that God's power is not... that God, I'll put it another way, that God's power is not in, that God is not in zero.
Oh, okay.
You have to.
But, I mean, like, you know, set theory and matrix algebra, those things are so pretty.
Yeah, but they're only useful. They're useful tools in a predefined constraint. They have nothing to do with life. They have nothing to do with it's. Those are childish things.
Tool, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like a hammer. You use it for a while and discard it. But it has no intrinsic. It's nothing in and of itself is of any value. Because, see, if you're in that arena, you make every effort to try to learn everything there is in that arena. Mm-hmm. You learn and 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 learn. Well, if you are, it's like, you know, we can go back to, there's a television program here, something about, so there are points in time that changed men inexorably. Okay. Well, for you, this is one of those points in time. You have to see that the world isn't flat. It's that basic. You have to see that zero is an impossible concept to a believer. Now you say, well, what difference does it make? Well, if you don't, if you know there's no such thing as zero, nothing, then you then are walking in faith, because you will call forth from nothing that which then exists. Let's go, I know what I was going to do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 1. Now think about what I've just said. How do we never get to what I want to study?
When you say, we're
just going
to
leave for a couple of minutes.
Harry's fault.
Thank you.
What?
This is fun. We like this.
We
voted on this. Well, if you don't, it takes everybody to go.
1 Corinthians.
Well, by the way, the earth is not flat.
125.
God is not zero.
Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Amen. But God hath chosen the foolish things, I wish not so many, of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, now listen to this, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. You see its relationship? Okay, now go to 2 Corinthians 4. What?
You don't have the power to take away
the preambles. You don't have the power to take away the preambles. Only God can.
2 Corinthians 4.
Wait, before you go there, in the one we just read, what does the word not mean?
Nothing.
Nothing.
To no effect. To bring to
zero.
Vainness. No, not vain. Not zero, vainness. Without value.
Meaningless.
You're grasping for straws.
No, I'm not grasping.
There's nothing. There can be nothing.
Okay, go to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 15. For all things are for... How do we get from here, from the star, from Libra to here? What segue was used?
You said, no, wait a minute. I got to tell you about this.
Well, I still was talking about stars. I was talking about the days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get from days of the week to this?
Zero.
To zero.
Remember,
zero.
How do we get from days of the week to zero?
I don't think I even have
the ancients, the numerology, and...
Oh, I know what it was. You were exhorting us to not just take things for granted anymore, like how many days in the week there are and whether or not there's zero.
We went straight to the letters of the alphabet to the concept of zero.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. You can't just let that one pass by. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound. You know what redound means?
Like rebound?
No, it means to get a whole bunch. Redound to the glory of God. Which means, redound means to get, I mean, it's like if you had a cornucopia that never stopped giving out goodies. No, we don't want any apples here. We're not going to talk about this.
That way you could never take three apples away because more apples would keep coming down the barn.
That's exactly right. That's a good example. Okay. Thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. We quit not in our minds. I mean, this is really getting to the base philosophical points. But if you can have in your thinking process, in these neurons you call your brain cells, the concept of zero, then you will always quit at appearances.
Quit how?
In your mind. You'll quit. You'll give up.
With the concept or without?
If you have the concept of zero, you will always quit at appearances. At appearances. You'll either quit or strive to have nothing. I mean, you'll strive to have more and more stuff. Because stuff becomes the basis of your attribution or your worth.
But you quit, though, too, don't you?
Hmm?
I mean, you quit in your striving. There are points in time that you can't, escape your own...
there's a lot of other things working there, too. But I'm saying to you, though, if you allow in your mind, in these neurons, if you as a hunk of protoplasm... allow the concept of zero, then you will faint or quit at appearances or sensory. You're carnal.
You'd be afraid.
You're carnal.
Yeah, resistance. Yeah.
Listen. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Which you don't see. For our light affliction, outwardly, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That weight is the thing in opposition to zero. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. Amen?
Amen.
And what does that have to do with the concept of zero? Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Your minds, you are a part of everything that has touched you, everything that you have learned since you were a child, obviously. You have been taught from childhood. You got to hear this. The whole world lieth in deception. You have been taught from childhood in the concept of zero. And it sounds like an innocuous little thing. I mean, it's obvious. You got three apples, you take away three apples, and now you have zero apples. But that's in opposition to that which is of God. Now, I want you to become so revolutionary internally that it'll short circuit all those wrong paths.
Amen.
Well, the concept of zero is a seminal issue in your thinking because it's so endemic to who you are. You know, if I have $3 and I spend $3, then I have $0. Oh shit!
Yeah, it's one of those things that is so obvious now that you've said it, but it was so subtle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never ever would have seen it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that mean we can take a break?
Just take a break first.
No. In verse 18 here, about looking at things that are not seen, okay, that's the point. And the concept of zero means you are locked into sensory perception.
You're carnal.
Okay. Okay. Now, we're also saying that not only as a concept of nothingness, but within mathematics, that the only reason the zero is used
is to be able to compare,
to be able to create scientifically,
manipulate within defined parameters,
and within the observable senses.
Right, but the parameters are defined. But it's so basic. I mean, many, many years ago, when mathematics was first, when Pythagoras and allegedly it was Abraham, but brought Pythagoras' knowledge anyway, but that they knew, I mean, they knew, so they defined a parameter and said, and by the way, mathematics was, Pythagorean was one of the world's great mystics and philosophers. And some of the other, I mean, it wasn't just Pythagoras, it was, well, I don't, a lot of you know more about this than me, but anyway, the point of it was they defined parameters, and they knew they defined the parameters. They defined the parameters simply as a tool that they could work in. Mm-hmm. Okay, then over time, pretty soon, the parameters became the end themselves. There was nothing outside the parameters. So all science crumbles. For instance, in one simple point, all science crumbles if you can show them that time isn't linear. Because all science is based on an assumption. They don't even recognize it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's based on the assumption of linear time.
Like when they get into really super way out into space and the tricks the light's doing, they can't be.
Right. But the reason those parameters become important is because you can have the appearance of free will within that predefined parameter. That's what gives the beast life.
It looks like you're in control.
Yeah, but don't you know, essentially, I mean, at the very core, that you don't have that freedom?
Isn't well, that, there's only, you're only free to express the will of, you're only, all men are vessels. You express the will of God in abandonment of self, or you express the will of Satan. But there's no such thing as an independent human nature. There's no such thing as human nature. There's only the nature of Satan and the nature of Christ. All alleged human nature is simply the nature of Satan expressed in a human vessel.
That's why there's no nothingness.
It's while there. You know, it's... Okay. Well, chapter 1, verse 12. You ought to read. You got homework. You won't do it, Billy. You got homework anyway. All of you read Colossians, all of it, with understanding. Okay. All right, but we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 12. Verse 10. That you might walk, and again, walk means conduct your life in every aspect, worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, you can't do that if your basic thought system is in error.
Correct.
You need to have the right foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ, not some conceptual framework or philosophical system or scientific method. Okay? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Or better translated, or of the Son of His love, in whom Where? Position. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace, again, remember, every time you see that word peace, especially in the New Testament, it means absence of anything that can ever be against you. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, and the word reconcile means to exchange, reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind because of the lie of separation by wicked works. You were alienated because you believed that self-effort was required. Though that is the definition of the iniquity or wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up or complete that which is lacking or behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Okay, now that's all a preamble. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement or to the agreement with of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or principles of the world, and not after Christ. Now that's what all language and mathematics and all that other, they're principles and rudiments of the world. You understand that? Doesn't mean you shouldn't know about them. Doesn't mean you shouldn't use them, but you use them, but don't give them any breath. They're not important. They're just tools. They're tools for the child. They're playthings. Okay. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, and it goes on. Now, let's skip down to verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Fleshly mind, that just means sensual. He sent judgment by senses. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherein if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments or principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subjects to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show, or an outward show, of wisdom in will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, but they are of absolutely no honor, or no value, and curbing, or they're not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, they're of absolutely vain. They're totally fruitless in seeing through the desires of the flesh. Now, there's another passage in Scripture that talks about things that are falsely called science. Yep. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. I can't give you life. You can't get any life from learning all kinds of mystery stuff. The letter, all of that is the letter, because it's learning. Letter is the Greek word grapho. And it's what the word, that's the word for scripture. It's the word for learning. Scripture killeth. Learning killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. But it's important that we attack these fundamental ways of thinking upon which you have built on the wrong foundation. Okay? I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody got anything else?
Yeah, at the risk of being overly dramatic, I don't really understand what's going on tonight. I have an idea of what's going on tonight about the shaking and most likely breaking of a building block. But I feel like I can almost see strings popping free like Gulliver.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything else? Take it, large person. I want you, before we take a large person, I want us when we're children, we act as children. The body needs badly some stuff. We need a computer and printer that are the appropriate kind, that I don't remember, but God does. And we need a copier. And we don't have any money. So we need those two things, so I just want us to pray that we would receive them soon, because it's time. Okay? Take a big guy now. Take it back.